Growing up, I didn't go to church on Sunday mornings, but on Friday nights, both my mom and I would sit down and watch movies, and she would show them from a Christian perspective.
Growing up, we were out in the woods, so I didn't watch many movies, but I learned to look around me and find a spiritual lesson in everything I saw.
So now, I want you guys to experience the goodness of God in the movies we watch.
Join us as we unpack meaning from the movies we watch.
I'm movie apologist Clark.
And I'm Bethany.
And this is Movie Night Apologetics. Well, what is up, movie lovers? Welcome back to the podcast that loves to show you the goodness of God in the movies we watch. And we are going to do another movie review pretty shortly because I thought we were going to do once a month, but seems like we're going to do, you know, one every week, right?
Little bite-sized nugget podcast episodes. I like it.
Yeah. Well, it's just fun to watch a movie with the kids and then talk about it. Maybe we should just go through all the Disney live action movies because today we're going to be talking about the Disney quote unquote live action that is Mufasa, the Lion King.
Mufasa.
So, yeah, we're going to be talking about that and just giving our little brief, like 20-ish minute review of it and what we liked, what we hated. And, you know, if you should watch it because, hey, you know what? Rather spend 20, 30 minutes of your time than 2 hours of your time if the movie's not worth watching. Right? We're trying to save you time, people.
Oh, okay. So maybe we should make these spoilers free.
I don't like spoilers free, though.
I know. It's not as fun.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to say spoiler review on the description.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, if they just want, like, a brief synopsis of or whatever review, then they can, like, I don't really want to watch a movie. Disney kind of sucks, but I do kind of want to hear about it. Hey, this is a great episode for you to join in and be like, I wonder what Mufasa is about. Like, is it really, you know, a good movie? And you're going to hear our thoughts and takes on this movie throughout. So, Bethany, why don't you start us off with the description of the movie?
Okay. So, this is from the point of view of Rafiki telling a story to Kiara, who is Simba and Nala's cub, while her parents are away at the ceremonial birthing grounds. So Rafiki is telling the story of Mufasa, her grandfather, who lost his parents when he was a little tiny cub while they were singing this song about Malele. And he gets found by another lion cub down the river, who will eventually be another secret character. But for now, we only know him as Taka. And Taka and his mother kind of take Mufasa in, but Taka's father disapproves of Mufasa. But after a time, he has to leave that group of lions as well because the outsiders, these bad lions, are coming to attack everybody. So Taka and Mufasa have to go on a journey in which they meet Sarabi, Mufasa's eventually wife. We all know that. And they also meet Rafiki. And gosh, then what happens?
She didn't take notes, folks. She's doing this freestyle.
I like freestyle. I like it better than just reading the description off of something because it feels so canned, right?
I mean, you want to hear the IMBD?
No. Hang on. IMDb can go after me. I've got this. Okay. So then the outsiders do catch up with this new little pride of lions and there is a big old battle and Taka betrays Mufasa, but then he kind of saves his life. So their relationship's very complicated now. And now Mufasa is the king of Malele.
And Taka is dun dun dun. He's actually Scar.
Ooh, nobody saw that coming.
I called that from the very beginning. I'm like, Taka. I'm like, And they're brothers. And who is Scar? He is an uncle of Simba. Like, this dude's going to be Scar. I know it.
It was actually a very tidy way to explain the plot of The Lion King. Everything actually lined up really well.
Yeah.
It felt like a really good
prequel. Like, you know how The Rock came about, you know, at the start of The Lion King, where, at least in the original one, where you see...
Pride Rock.
Yeah, Pride Rock, where you see Rafiki hold up Simba. I mean, you see that, how that came to be, which is really cool. You see how Scar from his eyes came to be. That was really cool. So you got to see a lot of just like this nostalgia, like, come to life. Like, oh, that's how that happened. Oh, that's how that happened. And yeah, I really appreciated that about the film.
It was actually really good. Yeah. What's the IMDb description?
It actually kind of sucks.
Okay, I want to hear it.
All right. It says, lost and alone, orphan cub Mufasa meets a sympathetic lion named Taka, the heir to the royal bloodline. Which is, I mean, he's the royal bloodline of lazy lions. I don't know. The chance meeting sets in motion an expansive journey of an extraordinary group of misfits searching for their destinies. That's what I'm saying. The IMDb description didn't really line up because I felt like they were all trying to go to Milele.
Well, Mufasa was, and everybody else was just trying to survive.
Yeah. I didn't really catch the everyone's trying. I mean, I guess you could see, say, Taka wanted to be, you know, go to the royal throne.
Well, he didn't even really want it initially. It was just his right. It was what was expected of him.
Yeah. That dude. Oh, you took my girl. Now I'm gonna, like, try to kill you. Anyways.
He's a complicated lion.
He's a complicated lion. Okay, so we kind of got a little bit more structured in this episode where we're going to be talking about things we hated about the show, things we liked about the show, and then we're going to kind of go through the movie's messages. Was there yes and amens throughout the movie's message? Was there throwaways, or was there something that needed to be reformed? And so, Bethany, why don't you start us off by, what did you hate about this movie?
I hated that initial scene sequence with the parents of Mufasa singing about Malele. It felt like it was trying to be really deep, right?
I didn't even listen to the words. The song was so boring.
The words were all of these vague spiritual catchphrases. It was like trying to be this indigenous people's chant, but also like really vague. It was trying to be too many things without being very honest.
And this is Mufasa's parents, right?
Yeah, their song about Malele.
Right before they die.
Because it's
the dad dies.
It's this land that's beyond the clouds where everything is perfect. So it's like, oh, okay, they're talking about heaven. But no, they're actually talking about a literal place.
Right.
And it's in you and it's in me and I'm in you and you're in me. And it comes out to a lot of nonsense.
All right.
They should have picked one spiritual idea and stuck with it instead of trying to shove all of these different little, like, spiritual catchphrases into one song.
Gotcha. Was there anything else besides that you hated?
Yes, but I figured you hated the same thing.
Well, I just didn't really pay any attention to it, so.
No, not the song. The other thing I hated, I'm sure you did too, which is that everything in the movie was CGI. So I was like, why didn't they just make this animated?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. It's like, why are we calling it live action? This was clearly all CGI.
Like everything.
Everything. I'll grant you it was at least good CGI.
Yeah, there was some pretty landscapes that I thought maybe were real. But every single animal, every single, like, interesting geographical point. Like, that was all CGI.
Yeah. And to be fair, to some extent, they had to do that because I'm sure there's not a Pride Rock somewhere. Or, I don't know. Maybe.
There's that place in the bend in the road along the river between Lewiston and Assotin that I think looks a lot like Pride Rock.
It
does.
Every time we go by it, it's like, oh, there's Pride Rock. I see Simba being raised up by Rafiki.
Yeah, they could have filmed it there.
Yeah,
but close enough.
It didn't look like Pride Rock though in the animated movies. Like, it's not a rock. It's more like a hill with like rocks in it, but it's got the same kind of pointed structure.
All right.
It's all not right. The exact same. I mean, it looks like the shape, but it doesn't look like the actual rock.
Well, yeah, but you can use camera angles, right?
I guess. But yeah, why are we calling this Disney live action? Let's just call this Disney CGI. Yeah, you know?
When it comes down to it, I would have preferred it to be animated because the animals' faces just felt weird. When they were talking, when they were trying to be expressive, because rather than being real and you thinking, oh my gosh, that's a real lion that's talking, or animated where it's like, oh, he makes funny faces, you just had these like dead eyes and a mouth going om, 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 om. So it felt a little feverish.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, no, I hated the CGI as much as some people do. I didn't really care for the music. There is a couple of okay songs, but they were just blah. Like, I don't know, they're just talking and singing, and there wasn't really a rhythm or rhyme in it. It was just like, I'm talking to you in song, and yeah, even though these don't really rhyme, yeah. You know, like, I was like, eh, like, could we have not made this a musical? I get it, it's Lion King, but, like, just switch it up. Don't make it a musical. It doesn't need to be a musical.
Well, the great thing about the original Lion King was there were a lot of songs that were fun to sing.
And these weren't fun to sing.
There's only one that I thought, okay, I could see myself learning that song and singing it. And it was the Brother one.
Yeah, I would agree. That was probably the best song, was the Brother one. Was that with Scar? Was that Scar singing or no? Yeah,
it was Taka and Mufasa singing together.
Oh, okay. It was them together. See, I was thinking of the one at the end where I thought Scar was singing, and I don't know, I thought that one was kind of catchy when he was getting a little pissy that he lost his girl.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the one when they were cubs and they're singing about the things that they're going to do with their brother and they're going to protect each other and
right.
All of that.
Gotcha. Yeah, the only thing I really hated was the music CGI, obviously, and then the music aspect of this. I didn't really care for.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else that you hated, or should we move on to what we actually liked about the movie?
Yeah. No, there wasn't anything else that I hated. I was just laughing because I looked at my notes and it says, let's talk about the elephant and the dam.
I think that one's going to go on the... that one's gonna go for the quote of the show. Let's talk about the elephant in the dam. Hey, it's a Lion King movie. Someone's got to die, and it's usually the heir or the one that's in the throne. Whoever is king should just be wearing a red coat like the people on Star Trek. You know, like. They're gonna die. You just know it. They're gonna die.
But you know what died. Literal scene I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, where the elephant was in the dam and then like,
and it broke the dam.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah.
They all got swept away.
And then Mufasa is just like flying in the.
It was kind of funny. But I didn't laugh because I knew I wasn't supposed to. And you laughed. And our son was like, why is Dad laughing?
It's just so stupid. It was like, it wouldn't have flown that hard.
Yeah, the first 10 minutes of this movie, I was going, oh, this is not going to be good. But then I actually did enjoy the movie.
So what did you enjoy about it?
I enjoyed the banter. The dialogue was actually really good. There were some solid jokes.
Mm-hmm.
There was a clear plot.
Yeah.
Believable characters. And I think, you know, it did a really good job of explaining kind of a complex backstory,
mm-hmm.
rather than just making Scar a villain or actually a victim.
Mm-hmm.
It just showed the natural progression of his cowardice.
Yeah.
Turning into deceit.
It wasn't like a hard turn for his character. It's like you could kind of see his cowardice-ness all throughout the movie.
Right. Yeah, it was a slow fade for him.
Right. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away.
Yeah, it was good. It was well done. Just like the romance between Mufasa and Sarabi was really believable.
Mm.
He understood her and really perceived who she was, where she came from, and she saw through his humility. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I did like the progression and the character development throughout the characters. I thought they did that actually really well. Do you think, because when you start the movie, there's James Earl Jones and he's talking and then it says in remembrance of James Earl Jones. Do you think he actually recorded that or was that CGI?
Sugar Pie. That was taken from the first Lion King.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen the first Lion King in like 30 years, so.
Okay, yeah, that was the scene where he's talking from the clouds. Yeah, and Simba's like, Father, don't leave me. And Mufasa's like, remember who you are.
Oh, okay. I was like, man, it's going to be a bummer if they just like CGI'd his.
His voice.
His voice, yeah.
I mean, it's possible that they could. One of my favorite strange genre of TikToks is where you have the AI generate a song using a character's voice. So there's like this channel that's completely dedicated to SpongeBob singing country songs. They're good. They're catchy.
It's hilarious. So I guess some of like the scenes that I just kind of found funny was Taka and his secret to Mufasa in the water.
Oh, I've got a secret.
I've got a secret. What are you telling me? No, no. Like, please just tell me. And then he's like, all right, you're about to be eaten. It's like.
That was pretty funny.
Like, that would be a good thing to know. So, yeah, it was just like stuff like that. Or like the Taka's dad, Obase.
I don't know, something like that.
Yeah. I really liked that character.
Oh, yeah. I kept nudging you throughout the movie. Like, that's you.
Just a fat lion that just wants to laze around. It's like, you're going to be heir to the royal throne. The royal throne of the couch. The royal throne of just like, what royal throne? You're just like a lazy lion that just eats and sleeps all day.
And he's very honest about that. He says that's the role of a king. To protect the whole pride by laying down and sleeping.
Yes, that's how you protect things, is just by laying down and sleeping. And then also, I thought Rafiki did a really good job with quotes in this movie. That's another thing that I really enjoyed. I mean, there were some quotes, so I'm like, meh. But, I mean, the one quote, my favorite quote of his is, it's easy to doubt everything when you know nothing.
Yes.
That was a really good quote, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one that I've never heard before. and a good one to think about. There was another one where at first I was like, yeah, whatever. And then I started thinking about it and I was like, oh my gosh, that was good. Which was, the eye never forgets what the heart has seen.
What exactly does that mean?
In my understanding, that would mean when you've had a deeply emotional moment, like you've really connected with somebody in front of you, you actually visually remember them too. So if you've ever been through something extremely tragic,
mm-hmm.
you can, or actually more likely something extremely beautiful, you can pretty clearly visualize that moment as, but just like a regular moment, maybe not so much. I lost myself.
Yeah.
I lost myself.
I was going to say, I'm like, you know, you did a great job with, let's talk about the elephant and the dam to this.
I need another cup of coffee. you know, like when you love somebody a lot and you're like, I love you a lot. You can see them. Oh, okay. Okay. I have a specific thing in mind now. So, okay. I distinctly remember this thing that happened when I was like 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I was chasing my baby brother through the house. And he was giggling and we were having a great time. And I grabbed him and I put him up on my feet while I was laying on my back to do the airplane in the air. And he was laughing and looking at me and I was laughing and looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt this rush of love for him that was so extreme that I couldn't breathe for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And so I clearly remember what his face looked like at that moment mm-hmm. because I loved him so much.
Ah, okay. The eye doesn't forget what the heart has seen.
Yes.
It's not as good as
a spiritual.
As it's easy to doubt everything when you know nothing.
Okay. You explain that one since I just explained mine.
Well, I mean, the idea of like it's easy to doubt everything when you know nothing. Like, I don't know. If you don't take the time to really like research and do your due diligence into trying to figure like things out. It's easy to be like, well, you know, to go in your own thoughts and doubt. Like if you know, say if you absolutely know nothing about the Bible, it's easy to doubt the Bible because mm-hmm. it's like, oh, well, Jesus being God, like how could God be a man and God at the same time, or how could he be resurrected? Or, you know, if you don't know anything, or like, how can the Bible be God's word when it was written by man? Like all these different aspects about doubts that people have about the Bible. If you don't take the time to research them and like really grapple with them, well, then it is easy to doubt everything because you've absolutely done no research.
Yeah, that's very true. I'm sorry. I'm a chronically online person, so I have a lot of online people examples of that. I think a lot of other chronically online people are from the inner city or something because they have the weirdest doubts.
Mm.
Like there's actually a conspiracy about where have all the pill bugs gone? Because people are like, yeah, I don't remember seeing a pill bug since I was little. honey, have you been outside since you were little? Because the pill bugs have not gone anywhere. They're still out there in the dirt.
Right. Anyways, that's my brief explanation of Rafiki's quote.
Like, I like it.
Like, just take your time to research because, like, I'm, you know, taking my time to like listen to people like N.T. Wright or other people about, you know, biblical stuff who are actually scholars, not just some yahoos that I listen on YouTube or, I don't know, podcast listeners or podcast people that don't have a degree or anything. But I actually, you know, try to listen to scholarly people who know what they're talking about, like Gavin Ortland or N.T. Wright or you know, whatever, like, because those people are pretty reputable and they've been through the gamut. What are you dancing about?
I have a fact.
Okay, what's the
fact? I have a fact why it's okay to listen to us even though we don't have any accreditation.
Yeah, we have zero accreditation. Like, we have degrees. We're not stupid people. We've, like, been in the Bible for, like, years and years and read many books about the Bible. So we're not, like, completely in the dark, but we're not – we don't have accreditation. Right. I may say I'm an apologist, but I have zero accreditation to be an apologist. I'm a movie apologist, different than a regular apologist. So I just want to make that clear.
And I think that's okay. They did this very big study on what kind of people are willing to change their minds when presented with new information. And they found that highly intelligent people who had lots of accreditation, basically, you know, they have their degrees, they have their titles, they were actually less likely to change their minds when presented with new information, because all of their education and their titles made them think that
they were smart.
Yeah.
And they knew better than other people.
Well, they were able to back up whatever they thought with their reasoning.
Which maybe that's one of the reasons why most of, like, the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the religious people in the Gospels, like, didn't follow Jesus, because they're like, well, we're smart. We know the Torah. Like,
right.
Like, what do you know? But then, like, these fishermen are like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. No, I think there's something to that. The Pharisees were like, no, Jesus can't be the Messiah. We know from studying the Torah what the Messiah is going to be like, look like, talk like.
Right.
And it's not this guy.
Mm.
Even though he did hit all of those major points of prophecy, right, he did fulfill them. It wasn't in the way that they believed, that they interpreted, and they could back that up.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Huh. So you're saying, and how is this a reason to listen to us yahoos?
Because, oh, we're the fishermen. We change our minds all the time when presented with new information, because we're like, wow, we were dumb.
Yeah. And or at least we discern. So we're not gonna, someone's not gonna come along and be like, did you know that Jesus was actually a spirit and he wasn't in a body? That's not narcissism. That's, what is it called?
Gnosticism?
Gnosticism. Okay. Wow, that's like awfully close to narcissism.
Very different, though. Yeah, I've actually decided that I prefer listening to people who don't think they have all the answers, because nobody has all the answers.
Mm.
It's actually irritating when people are very confident about things that are very dubious.
Right. I mean, there's a line. Like, I've listened. I mean, there are people that don't have, like, the training, and it's clear, like, they just don't know anything. You know, like, I've been duped with listening to, I mean, there was that one YouTube guy when I was in college, and he basically was like, hey, if you become a Christian and you sin again, like, you lost your salvation, like, you're going to hell if you sin again, like, very, like, perfectionist, and there's nowhere of that in the Bible. Like, I don't believe that dude was accredited by any stretch of the means, because, I mean, you can read a ton in scripture where people were saved and they fell, like Peter with, you know, eating with the Judaizers, and Paul had to rebuke him, like, right? Paul said he was the chief of sinners. You read Romans 7, and that's Paul's, like, current state in his walk in faith. Like, there's so many examples you have, you know, in Corinthians, and all these different examples of these Christians behaving badly, and they need to be sanctified and, you know, go better on their walk with God. But that doesn't mean that they were outside God's kingdom.
Right. And then conversely, you have theologians who have done tons of study And then they're very confident about things like what the end times looks like.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
Even though it literally says you can't know the day or the hour.
It's like.
And even though a lot of John's revelation is clearly poetic and spiritual and chiastic.
Right.
They're still like, well, here's my timeline. That's definitely right about how it's going to go.
Well, or you get the theologians or the people with doctorates or whatever, and they're like, nope, this is exactly how all like your theology and doctrine should line up. And it's like, there's triage. Like there's first degree things or second degree things, and you're dying on all these second and third degree things. Like I've heard people that are, you know, that love Jesus, and they love to reach people. They love to reach the lost and have them come to Christ. But they believe like, hey, you know, if you don't believe in a literal 6-day creation, then you're not a Christian. It's like, that's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Like, right. I mean, I understand if that's your take, but just because you have that hard stance doesn't mean it's exactly right. Like, it could be right. I'm not saying it is or it isn't. We'll probably get to heaven and we'll definitely find out. It's either one or the other. It's either 6 days or a million years. I don't know.
But doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Like, but you get these like guys who, you know.
Oh, yeah. When I was leading my 1-year Revelation Bible study, I did tons of research on every subject. Right. And one of them was on the rapture. And I don't believe in the rapture.
No, we do not prescribe to the rapture in this house.
But I wanted to understand the opposite viewpoint. So I was listening to lots of stuff from people who...
If you don't believe in the rapture, you're liable for hellfire and damnation.
Yes. I listened to this one podcast by a guy who believes in the rapture, and he's very much into it. And so I was listening to his reasoning, and I was like, okay. And then he says, and people who don't believe in the rapture and think that there's no evidence for it, well, you're apostates, and you're probably going to hell because you don't believe the truth.
It's like, well, I guess we are. Like, it's not our faith in Jesus that will save us. It's the belief in the rapture, I guess.
What? How did that become the gospel?
Right. Yeah. We take these like stupid things. So like getting all back to the Lion King quote, like, you know, it's easy to doubt everything when you know nothing. And so try to do your best with like reading far and wide, like
broadly.
Yeah. Like don't just listen to the same guy. I listen to a widely different perspectives of people. I listen to Reformed people. And this may get me in trouble. I listen to like a little bit more progressive people. Like, again, I'm not, you know, a universalist, or I don't believe in same-sex marriage or abortion or any of those things. But I do try to understand people coming from that angle a little bit, just so I understand.
Mm-hmm. And some people get worried about listening to an opposing viewpoint
because it may change their mind.
It does come down to that.
Yeah.
And if it's going to change your mind, if you're afraid that it's going to change your mind, then are you really believing the truth?
Right.
Because if you are believing the truth, then the truth should not intimidate you.
No.
Like, I have read atheist books thinking, oh, well, let's see if this shakes my faith. And then I start reading and I'm like, this is not convincing.
Like, I've had a struggle with, like, hell. Is it literal? Is it more metaphorical? All those things. And I've toyed with the idea of universalism. And then you listen to universalists, and then you, like, read scripture, and, like, I really just can't find it there. Like, it may be fine, you know, with annihilationism. I can maybe find, you know, like, certain different things. But I don't know. It's pretty clear, like, there's going to be a judgment day, and God's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Like, there are so many scriptures where I'm like, I just can't refute that. Now, how the whole hell thing works, I don't exactly know. But I, you know, so I've, you know, when listening to progressives on that issue, because it is a big issue, you know, like, okay, I understand where they're coming from, but I just don't quite see it in scripture.
Yeah. And good for you that you understand where they're coming from, so that their beliefs are not scary. Mm-hmm. And if you talk to somebody who believes in that, it's not going to be a confrontation.
No, it's
you can be curious.
Yeah. Yeah. Be curious. That's what I would say with people is be curious. We live in a time where, you know, you just got to be in your tribe. And if you're not in the tribe, then like it's scary to be outside the tribe, whatever. But I would say like just be curious about what other people believe. And if you're a believer, like your hope is in Jesus, like your hope and your faith and your trust is all in Jesus. Like that's where our hope comes in.
I like it.
So just be curious about other people, ask questions. I think that's the best thing that we can do in this life right now is to be curious, ask questions. Like the other day I was at work and I was talking to my buddy Jordan and I was like, you know, like, hey, what are some of the doubts that you had? Because I think there's some people that grow up in their Christian walk and it's like, you can't doubt anything. If you doubt, like you're not having faith in Jesus. It's like, that's just so stupid. So I asked him like, you know, what kind of doubts that you have had? And he's like, well, when I was younger, I doubted that, is Jesus really the only way to God or are all these other religions, can they be a way? And I was like, and rather than me give him the answer, because, you know, I don't know if he was still struggling with that or not. I asked him like, well, what'd you come up with? How did you decide that Christianity is right? He's like, well, I just read the Bible and like, it just makes so much sense. Mm. Like that's all I did was read scripture and
it
makes the most sense out of all these other religions.
Yeah. It's so good. And being curious will keep you from being an idiot. Because there are times where we completely misunderstand where people are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've been on the receiving end of that a couple times where somebody just came up to me, an evangelist, and started proselytizing. And I'm like, dude, I'm not your audience. Like
you're going to hell if you don't believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Well, you're going to hell because you haven't been evangelizing.
Yeah, I remember being like so frustrated. Like, why didn't you ask me first? Why didn't you ask me if I believed or not before you just started preaching at me?
Yeah. Yeah. I ask questions like, hey, like, what do you think about life? What do you think, you know, about God? And like, do you believe that? Like, that leaves an open door. It's not, hey, you know, like Mike was telling us at our Bible study. I know we're kind of going off long here, but this is actually a good conversation. I don't care. Mike, he's talking about this guy. He's like this older gentleman that he know, and that's one of his friends. And he's an evangelist. And he goes to like Costco and sits down with like random people while he's eating a Costco hot dog. And he's like, so are you going to heaven or hell when you die? It's just like, can you imagine like this 80-year-old man just like sit down with you and he's like, so are you going to heaven or hell when you die?
I mean, I guess it depends on how he says it.
It's just like with a hot dog in his hand and he's just like, so like.
I mean, if he's just like, you know what? Offhandedly.
Are you going to be a hot dog when you die?
Flame roasted.
But I'll have to hand it to the guy. Like, at least he cares about people. Like, he may need a little bit reforming and a little bit more strategy with talking to people, because obviously those kind of methods are a little bit outdated. I'm not saying like God can't use them, but certainly like we want to try not change the gospel, but like change our methods with how we present the gospel. And that's one of the things that the guy could probably learn. But he's 80 years old. But at least, I told Mike, I was like, at least he's out there trying and he cares. Like, there's a lot of Christians that, you know, don't like try to share their faith with people. And at least he's trying. So he's going to have a reward in heaven, even if it's, you know, a little bit harder or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, we can't see the intentions. We can't see the heart.
Right. Yeah.
And that's another reason why it's good to ask questions.
Yeah. Anyways, well, we need to wrap that, land the plane here as we're in like 40 something minutes of this episode. But what I wanted to do is with this movie of Mufasa is like, what's the messages that we love in it? What are the messages that we can just throw away, like hate? And what are some of the redeeming messages that it's like, it's right there, but it needs a tweak a little bit.
Yeah. Do you have any in mind?
Well, do you?
I was going to think while you spoke.
Okay. So one of mine is like, so I'll call this a yes and amen, is the mom being encouraging and forgiving. I thought of Taka, you know, like Taka let Mufasa won because if Mufasa lost the race, then the father would have eaten the cub, and he knew like, hey, I can't, you know, just let my dad eat the cub or eat him. And she was just really encouraging because the dad's like, oh, you shouldn't have lost that race. You're a piece of crap. And the mom's like, well done, well done. And she was just very forgiving. Like when he got scared and when they're being attacked by those white lions and he ran away, he came back. He talked to her and she forgave him for not stepping in. Like I thought... like those qualities were like yes and amen, like encouraging, forgiving. I like seeing that.
Yeah.
In that,
a message related to that that I really liked was that him being afraid, Taka being afraid of being attacked by the lions, in itself was not a bad thing.
Mm.
Right? Like they yelled at him for being a coward, but it was okay that he was afraid. He was young. What was not okay was that everyone was ashamed of him and decided to lie to cover it up. And that taught him that he did something shameful.
Mm.
And so he became something shameful. And I think that's where that began his descent down into horrible things.
Yeah. It's like you got to deal with the shame.
Yeah. You got to be honest about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Abasi and so I think this is a throwaway, and hopefully my notes do justice because I wrote these notes when we were watching the movie. So I'm trying to think because we watched this movie last night, and my notes say Abasi and his willing to lie to keep face at being a king, which is that what you were just talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So we had the same perspective on that. It's like, yeah, that's a throwaway. Like I've been listening to a bunch of those cult scandal podcasts about the church. And there's just a lot of churches that want to keep sins of people under wrap because it would hurt the church's reputation. Like if there was like a pedophile in the church and the leaders found out about it. And like there are these churches like the IFB movement, which is the Independent Fundamental Baptist churches. They will like send that pedophile off to another church and totally disregard it.
Gross.
Yeah. And it's to cover up because they think like if it gets out, it's going to tarnish the name of Jesus. And really it does the exact opposite of what you want to do, because eventually the truth is going to come out and it's going to bring that much more shame. And so they're not really doing it justice by just covering it up. And so the same in this movie, Abasi, he's trying to cover things up by lying. And it's in the end, it's going to go horribly wrong.
Yeah.
So that's a throwaway.
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually a public relations principle that I learned about when I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's one that nobody really retains.
Yeah.
But we studied all the public relation greats who were very honest about what was happening in their companies and how it actually benefited their companies. Because rather than waiting for somebody else to find out about it and then it was a scandal, they had their companies say, here's what happened, so that they could control their own narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually makes them look better to the public when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, for some reason, everybody in the world forgets that that's a thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we know we're not perfect people, and hiding it makes it far worse than just saying, yep, this is what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a thing, lastly, to before we get into our final overall rating of the movie, and then we're going to sign off here, is one thing that can be reformed is, so at the end, Scar wanting to be called Scar because Mufasa can't call him by his name after what he's done. So Scar led those lions to them, into Malele, and then Mufasa found out about it, obviously, and at the end, after everything's done, after the war is over, Mufasa's like, I can't even call you by your name. And he says, you know, call me Scar because it'll be a remembrance to me of what I've done on this day, or something like that. And I think a thing that we can reform in that thinking, because I think so many of us are ashamed of our sin and like what we've done in our past. But the thing, the good news about the gospel, about what Jesus did, is that when we come to him in faith and we repent of our sins, he calls us children of God. And it says in Romans that whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Like, God is a redeeming God. And so God's not going to be like, if you come to him, he's not going to be like, well, I'm just going to call you, you know, thing one, because like, I can't even look at you, you sinned against me, dot, dot, dot. No, he actually, he responds to us, and he doesn't want us to live in shame because he's redeemed us through the blood and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so I think that's one thing that can be redeemed in that movie, is Mufasa could have been more like Taka's mother in forgiving and calling him by his name, because maybe that was a part of Scar's downfall, is if Mufasa was forgiving, he said, no, I forgive you, maybe that relationship would have been restored, and The Lion King, the first animated one, would have never happened. Scar would have never killed Mufasa because Mufasa actually forgiven him rightly.
That's a really interesting take.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Because, yeah, that probably put some hurt on Scar and a lot of resentment.
Yeah, definitely, because he was allowed to stay nearby, but to never belong.
Mm-hmm.
And that would do something to you. That would mess you up.
Right. Like, yeah, you can be a part of this kingdom, but not a part of this kingdom. And, yeah, that's just an idea that needs to be reformed in the church, like, a little bit. It's like, or maybe not in the church, but just, like, in Christian thinking, it's like, you're not just, like, kind of on the outside of, you know, Jesus Christ. Like, he forgave you, but he doesn't really like you. Like, he loves you, he desires you, like, he wants a relationship with you. Like, he talks about how he's going to wipe away your tears in heaven. Like, he's going to be so close to you that he's going to wipe every one of your tears away in heaven. And so you are not like this scar that's like in the kingdom, but like rejected by Jesus. Like, you are in a relationship with him.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah. So, overall thoughts of what to rate the movie, water soda or slushy, and would you recommend people watching this movie?
I would rate it soda. And I would recommend that people watch it, and I would say, like, just hang on for the first couple minutes, because the first several minutes are kind of weird and off-putting.
You don't really know what the crap's going on. You're like, I thought this was a Mufasa movie. Like, why are we with Simba and his wife? Like,
right. And I kind of wonder if they knew who the audience was, because it's 2 hours long.
Yeah.
And our kids were ready to get up after half of it.
One of them fell asleep in like the last 30 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, it was really long for our kids' movie. For a millennial who really enjoyed The Lion King when it came out, I liked it.
Yeah.
So I feel like I was the audience.
I actually thought this was a better one of Disney's best, because like it wasn't a movie that they remade. This was a new story.
Yeah.
So it can't, I mean, yeah, there's nostalgia in it, but also it was a new story that they made. So for those reasons, I really thought it was good. I can't rate it a slushy, but I'll rate it a good movie. And I do recommend people at least watch it once. I thought it was well enough to recommend as a movie.
Agreed.
So next week, should we try another Disney live action for a review?
Why do you love torturing me?
Aladdin was good, or Mermaid wasn't terrible. I'm just thinking like that because eventually we want to do the Snow White Disney live action.
Right.
And so I'm just thinking as a series, like,
I would prefer a bit more freedom in our choice.
All right, fine. Well, we don't know yet, so we'll figure it out. Maybe the Country Bears.
Why do you hate me?
What? I don't know. Understand why people hate the Country Bears.
Because it's strange. It's very strange.
You know what? It's an original movie. Like, people are like, oh, why did they make 10,000 Spider-Mans? Have you ever seen a movie that had bears singing country? No, it's an original idea. Why do people hate it so much? Like, I'm not saying it's the greatest movie in the world, but it's a good movie. And people hate on it, but it's an original movie. You're not going to get that anywhere else.
You can watch a lot of original movies on the Sci-Fi Channel. And there's a reason why none of them get very big, Sugar Pie. Because original sometimes equals just weird.
That's fair. That's fair. But I thought the music in it was so good. Anyways, this ain't a Country Bears podcast episode. So, well, thank you guys for do you have a quote?
I don't have one prepared.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate you. We'll be doing these reviews probably a little bit more. I don't know. But we're still going to do Gray Man in the show. So, we appreciate you, and as my friend Blaine always says, don't party too hard without me.
What?
Catch you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Whether it's at home or at the movie theater, Movie Night Apologetics exists
to show you the goodness of God in movies we watch.
I'm movie apologist Clark.
And I'm Bethany.
And this is Movie Night Apologetics.